let's do a have a little bit of chat about this day, because this day, you know, Resurrection Sunday, it is the most significant event in history, and I don't want to talk for a long time. Actually, I might. But it is very significant because we're celebrating many things, but three things in particular. One, Jesus' sinless life. Jesus' sinless life is God manifested in the flesh. That's who he was and that's who he is. Secondly, his sacrificial death. That Jesus' death was sacrificial for each one of us. But thirdly, his resurrection from the dead. And that's the point that, you know, I want to hallmark, I want to raise this morning, because the resurrection is the hallmark of true faith.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
You can miss that one. But the resurrection is the hallmark of true faith. Yeah. In other words, one of the greatest signs that prove the power of the gospel is the resurrection of Christ, but also the resurrection power of Christ working in our lives today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, example, Lynn and myself, our testimony is very much about that. That, you know, 2 weeks before, we just celebrated our 40th, but 2 weeks before our wedding, we had an incredible trauma happen in our family. This is 40 years ago, where I just spent Good Friday with my family up around Bendigo, Elmore that way. And you know, a lot of you know the story, but my little niece, her name was Laura, a beautiful, beautiful little girl, wispy blonde hair, beautiful blue eyes. Her life came to an end very suddenly when she ran in under my brother-in-law's semi-trailer, and she perished in that accident. And I remember that because it just literally flipped my world. And you know, if I think about it now, 40 years and, you know, 3 weeks later, I can really end up back there very much. And you can look at things like that and you can think, how can good things come out of that? But there is a verse in the Bible, and it's in Romans 8, and it says, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And somehow, you know, with that trauma, because wherever there is death, wherever there is death, where God is involved, there is resurrection. And, you know, over the next couple of years, God brought us through a real process. 18 months after that, I had another trauma with my big brother, who was involved in a car accident and was taken out of our life, just like that. Before that, I always remember it because I thought, you know, our family, it's almost like untouchable. And then, you know, in the space of less than 2 years, it was, whoa. But in amongst that death process in our life, because it was like that, like Lynn and myself got married, we went away on our honeymoon, it was just great, amazing time of our life. But there was this death working in us. And the reason I'm talking about this is a lot of people don't understand the power of his resurrection. Because where you are and where God is, even though there is death happening around you, there is resurrection power at work. And somehow, you know, God just began to reach into our life and, you know, began to, it's sort of, I would have been a hard nut to reach. But God allowed certain things to happen so that he could reach me. I think it's really important because a lot of people misinterpret God when things go wrong in their life. They think something's gone wrong. You know, what did I do wrong? Well, I don't know that I did anything wrong. I don't know that, my sister did anything wrong. You know, my brother-in-law was backing his truck back just to go about his everyday life and his everyday work. And then all of a sudden, in a moment, their life has changed. You know, I rung my sister 40 years this year. I don't always ring her. 2nd of April, and I just said, hey, I'm thinking of you today. And I don't always ring her, but she said, gosh, how did you remember that? 40 years. And I said, every 2nd of April, I'd never forget that. It's like, you know, it was such an indelible mark on the inside of me. But do you know what? That's my story.
Yeah.
Today, I can tell you this, I thank God for it. You know, if I had my time again, I would be not wanting that to happen. But I found Christ because of that.
Yeah, that's good.
And Lynn found Christ because of that.
Yeah.
I reckon it's really important because a lot of us have stuff that have just gone wrong. And, you know, you think, you know, you can look back and you can have so much regret. You know, I regret that I did this, I regret that I did that. If I only had have done this, I'm sure my brother-in-law would still think that every day of his life, if only I had have been more careful. Hey, this is life, isn't it? This is the reality of life. You know, I want to encourage you this morning because often we get stuck. And we think, I made a blue. I made a bad decision. And I'm going to pay for it for the rest of my life. That is actually a wrong perspective. Because all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose.
Yep.
That's amazing. But the point is, the hallmark of true faith is there is a resurrection factor that is there in their life. Just a couple of things today about, you know, let's talk about faith today for a moment. I read a couple of articles this week that are, I'm always reading articles, but I found these interesting. We very much live in a secular society, hey. You'd think no one believes in God today, wouldn't you? If you read the press. But a recent survey was taken in America, and this is amazing. There's only 3% of the whole population of America, the whole 380 million people that are there, only 3% of them refer to themselves as atheists. And I reckon they're liars. Think about it. I've seen a few atheists change their minds right at the finish line. But you would think in this secular world that there would be more than 3% that would be total deniers. The greater problem, though, is this. In the UK just recently, while belief in God is still high, 52% of people who believed said they weren't sure whether Jesus rose from the dead. I think that's interesting. True faith, the hallmark of true faith is the absolute belief on the inside that Jesus rose from the dead. I wonder if everybody here this morning, you know, has that belief on the inside. Because one of the scriptures that changed my life, and I remember, I can't remember what was, you know, on our honeymoon, you know that Lynn and myself found Christ. Or it was a real powerful introduction that, you know, just began to open up over the next 18 months, 2 years, to really knowing him. And I remember one of the things that the preacher spoke about was Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And this is a powerful verse. It says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved.
Yeah.
It's a cool verse, hey?
Yeah.
And I remember when we answered that altar call, and there's a call for salvation, and, you know, come to the front if you want to find Christ. I grabbed Lynn's hand and we walked. Took charge. I was a control freak from day one. Walked to the front, and this guy speaks to us and he said, "You are saved now." And I said, "I can't be, I'm a Catholic." It's the strangest thing. I often think that. You know, sometimes I think what that is all about is we've raised the bar so high. But the scripture says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory.
Yeah.
The scripture says it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And this is not of our own doing, it's a gift from God. But the real clincher on whether a person is really a Christian in the truest sense is that belief that Jesus is raised from the dead.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You've got to have it in you. You've got to have that power working in you. Romans 8. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He'll give life to your mortal bodies.
Yeah.
This is the resurrection factor. So sometimes our faith gets shaken and we think it's all just a mess. Something's gone dreadfully wrong. And, you know, let's face it, I've actually prayed for dead bodies. And you know what? They're very dead. And you know, if you look at death and you look at life, they're just absolute opposites.
Yeah.
You don't mind me talking about this. I don't sort of go into morgues and try and raise people from the dead or anything like that. One day. But I've been there. I've experienced it. And death and life are just the opposite. You know, Jesus came to give life. Satan comes to rob and to kill and destroy. We need to understand they're absolute opposites. And I want you this morning to get this idea in your mind and maybe even this concept on the inside of your heart that the whole gospel is about the resurrection power of Christ. And you know, like, for instance, in our church we've had people that have been so messed up, but the minute they've opened their heart to God, God's began to rebuild them. Even to the point where marriages have been overdone and dusted, and we've got testimonies in this church of marriages being totally restored. Sometimes we go through stuff and we think things have gone dreadfully wrong. But maybe they haven't. Maybe they haven't. Maybe God is about ready to do something. Maybe God is about ready to turn some things around. I don't know how many times this has happened to us, but we have been married for 40 years and it's been an interesting journey. There's been a lot of ups and downs. But in so many areas, God has proven and demonstrated his resurrection power in our life. I would say in health, finance, family. And it's not all perfect now. But I've come to that point that I just trust God. I don't get overly shaken. I used to. Because, you know, when you're 25, 26, 28, 30 years down the track of following Jesus, you get this idea that he's going to come through for you.
Yes.
I was looking back at some of the prophetic words I showed you. One of the prophetic words of Jeff Woodward. A man who came in here in 1988, and Lynn and myself were just starting out, and he just went through our whole life and spoke about our future. And when you look back at it now, you know, it was just all there. God had it all planned. He knew. He had it mapped. I reckon it's really important to talk about it because some are anxious, worried, almost find it impossible to believe. And in some circumstances, you can believe real easy. You know, I just believe God's going to look after me. You know, he's going to provide for me. Now, that's really weird because when I started out, I thought if I leave the bank, my family are going to starve. My dad had drummed into me, he'd been through the Great Depression. He said, you get a job at the bank and you'll have a job for life and never leave it. He drummed that into me, you know, because he'd been through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
So God called me out of the bank. And the first area that he began to test me was in this whole area. And, you know, I was nervous and fearful and anxious and struggling, but it's like now, I don't know how God's going to sort things out. I just know he will.
Yeah.
I don't get anxious in that area at all. Whereas it used to be, you know, just about, you know, eat my pillow overnight, I was that anxious. Sometimes I think we've got to come back to this, you know, real fact.
Yeah.
Is did Jesus rise from the dead? And do I really believe it? Because we will preach a lot of messages in this church about how to live.
Yes.
Nearly every Sunday you come to church here, you know, there'll be something that'll teach you about how to live well and how to demonstrate the kingdom of God on planet Earth. But the baseline, according to Romans 2:9, there's 2 points. One, do you really believe in the bottom of your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? Do you really believe it? Or is it sort of like an intellectual thought thing?
No.
You just know that you know that you know. It's the first thing. And the second thing is, are you prepared to say it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you prepared to say it? Jesus Christ is Lord. Pretty cool. I just believe. But I was raised in church, and I didn't always believe. It's amazing, and this is part of the problem. I was raised in church by a good mum and dad. Genuine Christians, but I didn't believe. Didn't believe. I wonder if there are any here like that this morning. Sort of like you don't know where you're at. Maybe your faith has been a bit, hey, shaken. Maybe you're going through something and you're just struggling to really interpret it. No, 40 years you go through stuff. What have we been through, Lynn? Yeah. Been amazing. But this is the key to it. Every time, you know, my faith's not perfect. I'm just better than I was. And every time my faith gets shaken, every time I go, where is the resurrection power in this?
Yes.
And I'll wait for it. I see it. I don't doubt. I think, oh gosh, this could get a bit bumpy. But God wants to make us like a rock.
Yeah.
He wants to make our life unshakable.
Yeah.
He allows us to go through things because if you don't experience death in your life, you can't experience resurrection.
Yeah.
That's true. Amen.
I mean, a really incredible demonstration of this is one time, you know, I think just before I tell that story, I just want to explain this, is that resurrection power is at work in every true believer's heart.
Yeah.
But it is like such a broad, diverse thing. You know, I've experienced it even financially. I you know, living myself, the first test we went through is we went seriously broke.
Yeah.
First crack at business didn't work out so well. But do you know what? God, he didn't give it all back. But what he did do is he provided for us supernaturally.
Yeah.
Resurrection power.
Yeah.
I went through burnout and I thought, I'm dead. Like serious depression, come at me out of the blue. And I remember during that time just being so low, I just wanted to leave the planet.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
And for a pastor, that's not good. I remember being down in the car park where our church was down there at Dick Smith, the old Dick Smith building. And it was about May one year. And I was just in a dark spot. And I looked out into the car park and I saw a tree in the car park, not a leaf on it. And it was like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what your life's like. I thought about that because I felt like I'd just blown it. I'd just, you know, given my life something that's just not working. That's how I felt. But the Lord spoke to me and said, your life is like that tree. And I remember over the next couple of months just watching that tree and watching that tree that looked so dead just begin to come to life.
Yeah.
This is why you've got to understand the power of the resurrection and have the principle of God's resurrection working in your life. Because things are never the way they look. Never the way they look. Not while you've got faith. It's the hallmark of our faith. So you've got to experience this for yourself. One of the proofs of his resurrection is Luke chapter 22. I'll just go there. Luke chapter 22. Verse 54. This amazing story, because do you know what I think? There's a lot of stuff you can find on the internet about cold case. You know, serving. What do they call them? Solving cold case mysteries. In other words, you know, years and years after someone's been murdered, they can connect the dots and find out exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So you're into NCIS or something like that, aren't you? That's cool. You just got to know this stuff. I just spend a lot of my time watching stuff that helps build up my faith in this area.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Having arrested him, this is Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. And now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. I reckon this would be a dreadful thing, you know, to follow Christ and then be put in this position. But it says, but he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know it. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you are one of them. But Peter said, no, I'm not. A rot liar.
Yeah.
I remember years ago when I was in accounting school. I went off to accounting school. So I was an accountant in the bank. And I remember turning up to accounting school. I would have been 27, 28. And there was this big mouth in the group there, and he said, "Where's the born again Christian?" There's always one in a group like this. Where is he? It's funny because I look back and I thought, I'm not buying into this. I'm staying right out of this. I tell you what, I identify with that story. Does anyone else? Does anyone else identify with her? I'm the only honest bloke here. I chickened out. But anyhow, they found out and it was game on. I've had the privilege of standing on the place where Thomas the Apostle was martyred. Thomas was a disciple of Jesus, but he refused to believe. He said, "Unless I can put my fingers in the wounds, I'm not going to believe." Next thing, Jesus turns up in the room, walks through the wall, and all of a sudden, Thomas has got a challenge. "Here you go, Thomas. I've been very privileged to stand right at the place where Thomas was martyred for his faith. And this is a thing... And I believe maybe this morning in some lives there's got to be a little bit of a transaction. Because the difference between an intellectual faith and a true heart faith is some kind of experience." Thomas's reply to the encounter with the resurrected Christ is, "My Lord and my God." You know what? You've got to know the risen Christ. You've got to know the risen Christ. Can I ask you this morning, what Christ do you believe in? 52% of people who believe in Jesus in the United Kingdom believe that he was never raised from the dead. That's the current statistics. So which Jesus do you believe in? Do you believe in the Jesus that was raised from the dead? Or the one that wasn't? "I was raised in church. I was a good guy." Most of the time. "But I just remember it. I remember when God began to start to do something on the inside of me and I really started to believe." Where are you at today? Do you believe in the risen Christ? Do you believe? Or in some areas in your life, has it just all become shut down because you don't believe in the resurrection power of Christ? It's the hallmark of true faith. It's what it is. There was such an incredible change that happened to Peter. Peter says, "Man, I've never been with him." Yet he became Peter the Apostle. Like a spiritual father to the entire church. Something happened. Thomas, total unbeliever. "Jesus is a good bloke. He's got some great philosophies, but raised from the dead, you've got to be kidding." But all of a sudden, something happens. Do you know what? As far as cold case, solving cold case mysteries go, the evidence is overpowering that Jesus Christ not only walked the earth, but was raised from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So originally, 12 saw his resurrected self. And then 500, if you go to 1 Corinthians verse 13. I'll go there and have a bit of a read of this for you. You doing okay?
Yeah.
Need a bit of resurrecting? Yeah. Hang on, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me have a look at this. verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We all believe that, hey?
Yeah.
And that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. So how many people saw him raised from the dead?
13.
Yep, so that's 13. So how many does it take to actually establish a truth in a court of law?
Three.
So in other words, if you got three witnesses that said, I saw him do it, he did it. Unless there's DNA and you only need one. Private joke. So 12 saw him. Then we read on. Then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Wow. So there was 500 dudes in one place at one time, and guess what? Jesus turns up. That's amazing. Now, I want to just talk to you about this, because you got to know this stuff. I reckon one of the biggest fails we can make as Christians is not really working this into our life. If we have not got a good grip on the factual resurrection of Christ, our faith will be immature. It'll be stunted. And our results will be limited. So, for instance, from a mum of dad's point of view, you have just got to, together, mum and dad, have such a strong belief in the not only the power of the resurrection and the fact of the resurrection, but the principle of the resurrection.
Yes.
Because that is all your kids are going to see. It's all they're going to see. In other words, faith is caught more than it's taught. You can teach the facts. I had the facts. But I had to catch it. You doing okay? Am I getting all this over all right? If not, if our life is not rooted in the fact of the resurrection, and we don't have faith in the resurrection, we'll be easily shaken. And we'll have nothing to pass on. Here's a little bit of history for you. James, the son of Zebedee, this is the 12 apostles. Being an apostle's not an easy call. Don't call me Apostle Brian. Pastor Brian will be just fine, thank you. James, son of Zebedee, was executed by Herod. Peter was martyred in Rome under Nero, and so was Paul. Andrew was crucified somewhere near Syria. Thomas was martyred in the place where I preached in India. Philip was cruelly put to death somewhere in North Africa. Matthew was stabbed to death in Persia. Bartholomew, there are various accounts of his martyrdom, but it's not sure exactly where it happened. James was stoned and then clubbed to death. What a way to go. Simon the Zealot refused to sacrifice to the sun god in Persia, so was martyred. Matthew was martyred by burning. John, it appears John escaped, but they were burning oil for him. Now, this is really incredible, because here, Peter says, I don't know the guy. Now, all you have to do to get off the hook, guys, is go, I know nothing about this.
Yeah, that's right.
All Isaac Folau needs to do is say, sorry, I was joking.
Yeah.
It's remarkable, and to me it's the absolute proof that the story is real.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
all over the world, wherever people really stand up with this powerful truth, where they believe it in their heart and where they demonstrate it in their life and where the faith of it is outworked in their family and in their business, there's some kind of reaction. Anyway, must make you feel pretty good, because when that guy said, "Where is he? Where's the born again?" I thought, I'm staying out of this. Not now, I'm in there, I go, here he is, I'm here, I started early. What happened between Peter in the courtyard with the servant girl and Peter being put to death in Rome under Nero? What happened? Because when they look at cold case mysteries, the greatest proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not only the one and then the 12 and the 500, but it was the dramatic change of personality of the 12.
Yeah.
Peter went from being, "Oh, I know nothing," to being the Apostle Peter.
Yeah.
Who stood on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel to a hostile crowd. So you can be raised with them. You can have the knowledge. I mean, Christianity is all over our culture. It's in the language. You know, people use Christian terms. It's so deeply entrenched that it's got to come into your heart.
Yeah.
And you've got to move from being a person who perhaps believes in the culture of Christianity and the ideas of Christianity to being a person who's experienced the resurrection power of Christ.
Yeah.
If you lack that, you'll be up and you'll be down. It'll be bumpy. Mm-hmm. It won't have context. You'll continually think, "I've blown it. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I should never have done that." And that's probably true. But even where you've blown it, resurrection power. The principle of resurrection power is there. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You experience this? She's been through it. That's why the scripture says, "Count it all joy." It does. What a crazy thing to write in the scripture.
Yeah.
"Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and testings of your faith."
Yeah.
Because it's producing something on the inside. It's producing perseverance.
Good.
It's producing strength.
Yeah.
It's producing true faith.
Yeah.
And built on the inside. Every time you go through a challenge, you can think, "Oh, I've done something wrong. Oh, I'll never get over this." But the Bible says, "Count it joy." Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Hey, I watched one of the movies put out by that guy, Darren Wilson, and it talked about the persecution in the Middle East. And there's a dude there who's been persecuted for his faith, where he's got burns all over his body, and they burned him with cigarette butts all over his body, tortured him. And they asked him, they said, "How do you feel about that?" And he said, "I count every one of those cigarette burns as a crown from Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So quite often we associate successful ministry, successful life, you know, prosperity with the blessing of God. But to this man, being persecuted for his faith is the blessing of God. Do you know why? Because he believes in the power of the resurrection. This has got to become what drives your faith. we will rise again. We will live again. We will see a better day. We will overcome. We will be better. We will be stronger. Every time the enemy hits you, you have an opportunity to come to a place of true faith. Where is your faith? Can I ask you that this morning? I reckon this is crazy. You know, Jesus hopped in the boat with his disciples to cross over the other side, and there's this crazy storm. That would freak me. That's when you'd want to believe in the resurrection power. And Jesus asleep in the boat. The disciples are freaking. So they wake him up. Jesus, save us. I know he's a guy to get him out of trouble. And he goes, where is your faith? Wouldn't that tick you off? Where is your faith? Like, honestly, one of the biggest problems we have is our faith is right there in the problem. Misplaced faith. This is the biggest issue we have as Christians. Hey, can I ask you today, where is your faith? Is it in the Christ, the Son of the living God, or is it elsewhere? Is it in your work? Is it in your ability? Is it in your husband, your wife? Is it in the church? And that's all misplaced faith. I have faith in my wife. I have faith in the church. I have faith that my employer is going to pay me. I have faith for that. But that's not where you put your faith. Where's your faith this morning? Do you really believe? So what happened? Peter, he just didn't want to upset anyone. He was a PC Christian. He was a PC Christian, but there is an event that will change everything in your life. And it's in Acts chapter 1:8. And this is what makes the difference. Because Peter saw Jesus, he walked with Jesus. He believed in Jesus. He adhered to his teachings, right? He was a disciple. A disciple simply is a wholehearted follower. He was following the man close up, the Son of God. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. And I really hope that when you get together, you talk about this and you can answer this question, hey, where's my faith? Because Jesus, the very last words in the that he spoke on planet Earth, give the key to this. Because you can be a witness to something yet not empowered to be a witness. Because Peter followed Jesus. He saw the miracles. He saw the 5,000 fed. He saw the blind healed. But he yet was not prepared to be a real witness. But in Acts chapter 1:8, we see it. Jesus' very last words on planet Earth before he ascended to the Father. So those words are, wow, important. He made an incredible promise to the church and to the disciples. He said to them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, what's the next word? Witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You'll be witnesses. Do you know what the greatest proof that you believe in the resurrection power of Christ is? You are some kind of a crazy witness that's got to get in the face of people wherever you go and upset their day. That's the proof. The proof that you are a witness is the way you treat your kids. You go, you will believe. Because. And you haven't got a good reason, but you just know. Well, you have got a good reason. See, it's caught more than it's taught. You could not catch that. But some people are so ho-hum about it.
Yeah.
And wonder why nothing's happening around them. But man, I tell you, once this thing gets on the inside of you, you're wrecked for normal.
Yeah.
Hey, we were never called to be normal.
Yeah.
You like that, didn't you? You found your tribe. Good on you. You were never called to be normal.
Yeah.
Normal. Just go to church, but don't rock the boat. But that's not in the Bible anywhere. Wherever Jesus turned up, there was controversy.
Yeah.
And wherever the disciples turned up, there was some kind of a cultural clash that was life-threatening. Where's your faith? I tell you, sometimes it's interesting as a pastor because you just listen to people speak. And it tells you everything. I dropped in on some of my relatives. I've done the relative crawl. Really great people. Just going to church all the time. And I was talking to my cousin. And I said to him, do you know that the biggest killer of the unborn child, the biggest killer in Victoria, is abortion? And I said, it's the failure of our politicians. And he said, oh, look, I can understand they're busy. And I said, understand they're busy. I said, it's totally unexcusable. He said, oh, okay. Resurrection power. We've got to plug right into this and get connected. Do you know what? Mari is an absolute inspiration to me. She is probably the most senior lady in our church. And her body's just not, first time I saw her, she was playing tennis every week and she was dancing out the front of church and radical. And the body's not just doing what it should. But every time I look at her, I just see out of her eyes nothing short of resurrection life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just see it. That's the way it should be, because the Bible says the outward man is perishing.
Yeah.
But the inward man is being renewed day by day.
Amen.
Resurrection power.
Yeah.
Even when you're getting old and you're getting so close to crossing over. What a blessed time. What a great time. And you got something in you that, oh, wow. If you really understand this. Like I said, we prayed for people that haven't had that much life in their body. We got called up to the hospital once, and there's a girl by the name of Sharon Hearn. We'd never met her. She was a young mum. Sharon Hewitt. She had a little child and she'd been given 24 hours to live. Here in the hospital in Sale. Never knew her. And we'd been asked to go and pray. It's not always easy. We walked in and I remember grabbing this lady's hand and her hand was cold and limp. And death's got to look. And something happened to me because I looked at this kid. And I just got overwhelmed with emotion. It wasn't like a me thing. It was more a God thing. And I just remember this prayer. I said, God, for the sake of this child, give this mum her life back.
Yeah.
Anyhow, literally what happened, and Lynn is my witness, as soon as I did, her hand started to warm. And the blood gases, the nurses came over and they looked at it. And they looked at one another and they started to smile. And it was about 3 months later she came to see us. Not a believer at all. But she said, you come and pray for me. Hey, we quit so much before we should because we don't know what God wants to do or can do.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Where's your faith this morning? What do you believe? Who are you following? Who are you following? I want to get onto this the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Who are you really following?
Yeah.
Because you see, Paul, the Apostle Paul, and we'll finish just with this, is the Apostle Paul believed he was serving God. Do you know what he was doing? He was throwing his cloak down, which was a symbol of authorizing the persecution and the death of Christians. And he believed that he was serving God. But then something happened to him on the road to Damascus. And he did not meet the Jesus, if I could say it like this, the Jesus that was walking on the earth. He met the resurrected Jesus that was seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Changed his life. This is the God we've got to know.
Yeah.
This is what this church is all about. This is the core doctrine of the City Builders Church. If someone said to you, what does that church believe? This is it. Believe that Jesus, the Son of God, took on human form. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross out of obedience to the Father and laid down his life sacrificially on the cross. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And whether the world will admit it or not, they all know it. Atheist? I don't think so. Agnostic? Only till we get a bit close to the finish line. But where's your faith? What do you believe? How do we fix this problem? I'll tell you when it settled for Linda and myself. I was raised in church, went to the seminary, seeking for God. And there's a lot of little steps. You know, one of them I was thinking of doing this week when I was a boy, about 8 or 9, I made my first communion in the Catholic Church. And I remember this. I drove past that old church this week. And I dreamt, and when I took my communion, I had physical pain in my chest. I had some kind of an encounter with God as a little boy. Then, Lynn and myself found ourselves at the altar at the Billy Graham Crusade, but I'll tell you when it all changed. It was 18 months later when I read a book. Jesus is one of three people. Either he is absolute liar, who set about to defraud humanity. He's a lunatic. In other words, he thought he was God, or he was the Lord.
Yes.
And I remember that in our house in Townsend Street in Bendigo, where we said, this is it. And we bowed our knees and we said, we're going to serve this God with our life.
Yeah.
It's never been any different ever since. That's how we got to live.
Yeah.
And ups are going to come, and the downs are going to come, and the disappointments are going to come, and the blows are going to come, and, you know, deferred, you know, prayers that you never think they're going to be answered. All these things are part of them. But there is one thing that overrules that, and it's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Is that a good message or what?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
Love you all. You're an awesome bunch. Great church. Haven't even started yet. Resurrection power. You'll be my witnesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. That means, you know, when we go from here, we've got to be witnesses.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
It's great to have you all here. Father, we just thank you for today. And Lord God, I just thank you for your resurrection power. Lord God, we receive it into our life today.
Yeah.
God, we want to follow you with our whole heart. Lord God, whether we're young, whether we're just starting out, whether we're new, Lord God, whether we're getting older, Lord God, in whatever area in life we're at, Lord God, I pray, Father, there'd be a real newness and a real freshness begin to come into our life. Lord, I thank you for each life that's here, that you breathe that life into us. And that's a gift from you. Lord, help us to use it well. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We're done. God bless you.
Amen.
Bless you.